Well, I'm glad you're here in the house of the Lord tonight. I have spoke this to myself once, so you get to hear it the second time over. And we'll just see what the Lord has to share with us here in his house this evening. I do have a text for you tonight. If you want to open up your Bibles to the book of Esther, we'll be going to the chapter number 4, and we're going to be reading verses 13 through 16. And I have a title for my message tonight, and it says that you've got this. I don't know how you feel about life as you get up each morning, but I hope you look forward to each day with anticipation and of an understanding that God is here to be with you and to help you in each step that you take in any one given day. God is here, and he's here for you, and he wants to be with you if you will only let him direct your footsteps. And I guarantee you, at the end of the day, when you lay down your head, you'll be able to rest in peace, knowing that all is well between you and God. Well, here tonight in our text, we do not have a happy situation. I don't know, does your life ever run into troubles along the way? You ever have times whenever there are just issues that pop up that you just wish would go away and didn't exist? Well, fortunately for you and I, we have a book right here that tells us about life and how life happens and how things happen that are not good. But it also tells us about an almighty God who does see and know everything and will give you help, blessings, and direction if you will listen to him. All right, let's read the text together here. When Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews." Number next. "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Next. "Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So the problem that existed for the Jews there under the reign of King Ahasuerus, and things were just not looking too good. Unfortunately, there was somebody there that didn't like them. He especially hated Mordecai, and because Mordecai was a Jew, he wanted to do away with them all. And if you ever feel oppressed or like things are not going your way, you have just a tiny bit of an idea of what it was like to live as a Jew in that time frame. And so it was that God had made arrangements through time that Esther had made it to be the queen along with Ahasuerus. And because of that, she was in a privileged position. But she was a Jew. And because of things that had been laid out there, we find that Haman had made arrangements. What he really wanted to do, he had planned to hang Mordecai, and then he was going to destroy all the Jews. They were all going to be gone. Well, you know, God has his hand in everything in our lives. And so God marked a way. Anybody need to be prayed for real quick besides me? All right, we got it right there if you do. But anyhow, God always has a plan. God is never without a plan for your situation and my situation. We may not know what it is, but just rest assured that whatever you find yourself in, God has a way he wants you to go, and if you go his way, he will bring deliverance to you. And it will be something really great and glorious. So anyhow, he arranged for Esther to be there in the king's house among some of his favorite people, and so Mordecai says, "Hey, Esther, you've got to go in and intercede for us. Well, that was a good request, but there was one big problem with that. If she went in and the king didn't say, come here, guess what happened to her? It was not happy. So she said, okay, all right, I hear you, what your request is. Mordecai warns her, says, hey, listen, this is what you need to do. This is your responsibility in this time, and we need you to do this. He says, and if you decide, oh, I'm in the king's house, I'll be good and safe, know for a surety that God will make a way different than yours. God always is going to have his way. You may not fulfill your role as he would desire, but if you fail or turn away from him, he will make another way. And that's what Mordecai was telling Esther. But there is a price you're going to pay. Not only will you miss out on the blessings of God, but in the end, your whole family and you are going to be destroyed. There is no escape for you. Well, now let's see. If I do this, I might be all right. If I don't do this, I'm going to die and my whole family's going to die. What would your choice be? You would think it would be this one automatic. She said, okay, I will do this, but I need you to do something for me. All right, I want you to talk to all the Jews here in Shushan, and I want you to fast for me 3 days, day and night, 3 days. And I and my maidens and all those that look after me, we're going to do the very same thing. Now, that didn't seem like too hard a request. I mean, if you knew you were going to die and if you could fast and pray for 3 days and three nights, do you think you'd want to fast for 3 days and three nights? You would think you would do that. Well, they did, but I don't know about you, but I don't like to fast unless I absolutely think I have to. You know, I can do a lot of things, but that does kind of make me nervous and probably irritable, but don't talk to my wife about that. But who knows? But anyhow, they did do that, and of course, Esther did go into the king, and the king did accept her presence, and then through that means, deliverance did come to the Jews, and instead of Mordecai hanging on the gallows, it was actually Haman that wound up hanging on his gallows, and deliverance was given to the Jews. Just one great example out of the Bible of what can happen and what will happen when we submit ourselves to God. Like I said, God always has a plan. You and I may not know and understand what it is at any one point in time, but it's important to remember not what the plan is as much as whose plan you're going to follow. Anytime you follow God's plan, you're going to have victory and deliverance. It's a guarantee. God has never lost a battle. It may not go the way you think it's going to go, but it's not your plan in the first place. It's God's plan. Now, speaking of plans, how many of you have ever sat down and planned out your day? I want to do A, B, and C, and D. And if time permits, I'll do F, G, and H. And usually by the time you get to B, things have got so changed around, you're never going to see D or E or any of the rest of them. Our plans are fallible. God's plan is not fallible. It will always work out the way he wants it to. And one of the beauties of writing in this book and studying it is that you're going to find that when God's people had their troubles, if they stayed faithful to God during that, they would always come out on top. It always happens. And you and I in our lives, okay, I'm having trouble. Well, here's a good example where somebody is against me and not treating me right. What do? I do what God would want me to do. And I ask God for help and deliverance. And what happens? That enemy was gone. That trouble was solved. And they were able to go on about their business. And the same thing would be true for you and I in that situation. All the other situations that this book covers will also help you to be successful and be able to overcome those situations. And isn't the Lord's victory great? Isn't the Lord's victory great? How many of you knew or know that we were all condemned to death because of our sins? All right. Whose plan are you going to follow? You going to follow God's plan? Let's see. If I follow God's plan, I repent, get baptized in Jesus' name and receive the Holy Ghost and try to live a holy and godly life and try to do God's work and God's will. Let's see. Is there any kind of reward for that? I think there's a place called heaven. And I think there's a place where there's no peace. Oh, no peace. I'm sorry, I got the wrong place in mind. You don't have to go to the place where there's no peace. You get to go to heaven to be with the Lord. And everything is going to be well and good. There's no more sickness, no more death, no more sorrows, no more crying. That sounds like a pretty good place to be to me. But that's part of God's promises. That's part of God's plan. If we follow that plan, we can rest assured that that should be able to be our end destination. Why do I know that? Because it's what the Scripture says. Hallelujah. And then any time you read in here about any of the problems that the Jews were facing, you got the assurance that God knows what their situation really was. It didn't catch him by surprise. But he always knows where his people's at, what they're going through, and how to bring them through it and give them victory in the end. God knows everything, and he's going to bring it to pass. And God's going to have an individual he's going to pick out to help out along the way. Really, when you come down to it, that's you and I tonight. It's what I want us to focus in the end. God has a plan for each one of us in his great work in this world. And he wants us to be faithful to him, and then he's going to use us in ways we comprehend. Who would ever have picked David to be the great king of Israel? I mean, he was a shepherd's boy. There was nothing that would tell you that he was going to be a great leader of his people and be a man that was really after God's own heart. Who knew that? Almighty God. So Almighty God made the call, made the choice. And because he answered God's call, the time and the place, he became the king and he began to be the ruler that you and I would probably enjoy living and serving under. Because that was God's plan, that was God's way, and God will always make a way. Now, some of these people are individuals that I would call, I don't know, their lives are high loaded. They're a high profile person. Now, everybody's heard of David. I'm sure you've heard of Moses. We just talked about Esther and Mordecai, but what about all the others that were also supporting to them? They didn't do this all on their own. There were many other godly people in the land of the time that would dedicate themselves and give of themselves to help fulfill God's plan. That's where a lot of us fit in today. We may not have the experience that Paul had when he was on the road to Damascus to call us. But our calling to God is just as important as what Paul had to go through and what Paul experienced. God doesn't really need another Paul in this day and hour. God had his Paul and he had him in the position at the right place at the right time to do the right thing. Same with David, same with Moses. All of these folks fulfilled their role. If you look in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, you will find that they were successful. And because they were successful, there is laid up for them a crown of righteousness that they're going to be able to enjoy, just like we're going to be when we go to heaven. That's what God has prepared and laid out for us if we will only follow him. And I'm telling you right now, he's got you covered. You're going to be able to do it if you will continue to walk with God and listen to him. Because I tell you, you've got this. Whatever it's going to be that God's going to place before you, you're going to be successful in it if you listen to God and allow the Holy Ghost to rule and to reign in your life and my life. And I don't know about you, but I want to go there. Hallelujah. As I see things happening in our world today, it makes me want to say, nevertheless, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, I want to go home and be with him. Hallelujah. Well, So much for that part of it. High-profile folks, other folks, we're all part of His great plan. Hallelujah. And who wants to stay in this old world? All right. Let's talk about this old world today. I don't know. Well, let me just go. Let's go back to this part. I'm 76 years old. My view of the world is going to be a little bit different than, say, these young people right there, because their view of the world is not as experienced as mine. Does that make it bad? You know, I sat in your shoes one time myself. Of course, I knew it all back then, so don't let that confuse anything. But, you know, as you grow and as you experience things, it does change your outlook on life. You know, we live in a world where communications is just amazing today. I think, I'm pretty sure that when Shirley and I got married, now we didn't live in the sticks, but we did have the old telephone that had the ringer on it, and ours was two longs. When you rang that, there was somebody else that was supposed to be able to plug in a cord and talk to you, and then take your call to wherever it was supposed to go. Now, how many, does anybody remember those old phones when you had to? Yeah, okay. I'm not talking about, no, I'm not talking about them. That was long before those ever came along. And I tell you what, if I'd had a cell phone back then, it wouldn't have been worth anything. No cell towers. Matter of fact, what was a cell tower? I remember whenever I got my first transistor radio. It had six of them in it. And it was about that big. It was a little tiny thing. Of course, I could only get about four stations on it, but you know. But that was back in those days. What are these folks being raised up in? You can see what's going on almost any place in the world you want to go find out something about. And I use it some, a Google search. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Yeah. What happened in 1972? Used to be you had to go to one of the places that had like the birthday, what happened on this date in 1972 or whatever. But now you can ask it almost anything and get all kinds of answers. Some of them are even right. Yeah. Yeah. But communications is just amazing today to what it was, you know, just 20, 30, 50 years ago. You know, we were lucky to have televisions that were, well, let's see, our first television was about, let me see, it was bigger than an iPad, but not a lot. And it had the little yellow, white lines all around it. And if you got two or three stations back then, you were doing pretty good. So I just say all that to say, God has prepared you and prepared me and everybody in between our ages for this day and hour that we're living in. God has got things that we see and do and know and experience in our lives every single day that goes into a repertoire of experiences and knowledge that helps us to function in this day and hour, and to be able to help others also to see that, you know, things are going crazy now. Some people will tell you that time must have speeded up. And whether it has speeded up or whether things are happening so fast now that you don't hardly have a time to catch your breath before something else is happening and going on in our world today. But God has placed us here in this point in time for a reason. God doesn't miss anything. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't miss out on anything that's going on in your life and my life and how that would be better put into His plan to bring the knowledge to this world of who He really is and what He would expect us to become. And if you don't like change, well, I'm awfully sorry. Change is a part of our lives and your lives. If you don't change, you're going to be dead. Because our bodies are constantly changing. Our lives are changing. Things are happening. And either we learn how to use it and adjust to it and know that, hey, I don't have to do this all on my own. I got a lovely wife. It helps me out on everything else. But I also have God. God is there to help lead and guide each and every one of us. And he can help us to know and understand, you know, when I open up the news, if I want to watch the news for a couple of hours, I could really get really depressed. You know, there's terrible things happening in this world. And you know, if you think you've got it made, just watch some financial channels for a little while, and you'll find out, man, where's my belt fold? You know, oh, they don't even want me to drive my car anymore. If it does, it's going to cost me $100 to fill it up. It's only got a 10-gallon tank. But that's the kind of world we're living in. And if we let that kind of stuff dwell in our minds too much, we're going to miss out on the best part that God has given to us in this life. And that is a chance to show forth how much God loves you and me and them and can take care of what's going on in our world today. We don't have to live in fear. God doesn't intend for any of us to live in fear. But he wants us to say yes to him. Let's go to 1 Peter 2 and 9 for a moment. You don't think you are picked out by God to be special, just read this particular verse. But ye are a what? Chosen. Chosen by who? Our government? They might like to rule you and reign you and do everything else for you, but we are chosen by God, and we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Royal. Royalty. You're elevated. You are something of importance. Everybody's importance to God, so don't get me wrong on that statement. But by and large, those that are adhering to him and his plan are the ones that are going to be blessed abundantly. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You don't live like everybody else. You are not to be like everybody else. You're supposed to be holy unto God. He wants to be your Lord and your master. Not as one going to beat you down, but as one that wants to lead you and to guide you, to help you. Hallelujah. A peculiar people. Once again, not like everybody else, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of that darkness. Listen, if you're walking in the world today, you do not see all that is happening as well as if you are a child of God. You will miss out on so much of what is relevant here today, what is really important here today. You will miss out on that unless you are a part of God's plan and following his plan. But he's calling you out of that darkness into his marvelous light that you may see and know and comprehend the things that are important to God. Hallelujah. And for that reason, you don't want to become too attached to this world. I don't know about you, but there has been times whenever it just seemed like everything was just, you just churn along through life. You wasn't careful, you didn't give God much mind, but you just had to do this and do that and do this and do that and go here and go there and like this and like that and do that. Don't let the world grab a hold of you like that. That is the world's way. That's why the Lord says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. That's why he wants you to be different, because he wants you to be different, to be able to see and know and comprehend what is real in your life. Hallelujah. Let's go to Romans 12 and 2 just a minute. If you don't feel like you're comfortable in this life and this lifestyle and everything that's happened, don't feel too bad about that. For as this verse tells us here, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. There's a change that needs and should take place in your and my life that will help us to be what God wants us to be. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Next verse is in Hebrews 11 and 13, which also gives us an idea of why we should not be so tied in with this world. These all died in the faith. Once again, we were talking about those in Hebrews, those faithful men and women who committed their lives to God. Some were even a Saul and a son, or some of them had other atrocious things happen to them. But they held fast to the knowledge that they had and their belief in God, and because of that, God rewarded them. These all died in the faith, not having received the promises. We've got some exceedingly great and precious promises ourselves. These did not even get those promises. They couldn't even hardly even see them. But they did see some of them afar off, and we're persuaded, hey, there's a better life to be had than what we have on this earth. And we're persuaded of them and embrace them and confess that they were what? Strangers and pilgrims in this land. That's why we don't want to get too attached, because this is really not our home. The song says we're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Hallelujah. So there's things that we need to know and comprehend about what God has for us and what God doesn't have for us. Hallelujah. And so how do we get and be able to enjoy all of these things that God has in store for us? How do I conduct myself that I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh and the parts of this world would like to drill and dominate in my life? How do I say no to all of those things? Or to any of them, as that matter. Let's go to Romans 8 and 14 next. Romans 8 and 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." You want to know how to walk right, talk right, be right? Walk in the Spirit more. Walk, let the Holy Ghost really lead and guide you. If it kind of condemns you about over something, don't just shove it off, but say, "Yes, Lord, I want to do what's right here. So help me now." Next verse is in Galatians 5:16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Walk in the Spirit. "And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." The Spirit, the flesh. The Spirit, the flesh. You will always going to follow one or the other. The two of them do not mix. They talk about the dog that's in, the two dogs that got in a fight. I don't know what version of the story you've heard, but one I remember the most is that it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but it's the size of the fight that's in the dog that's going to count in the end. Now, I know there's a lot of little dogs that think they're big fighters. I don't. I won't say whether they will always win or not, but the old saying goes, if there's any kind of compatibility, you always take the one that wants to fight, because they will overcome. And I guarantee you, you get down to scrapping or doing things that are life-changing or depends upon your life, you better have that mentality that you're going to win no matter what. And when it comes against fighting against the devil and the flesh, you better be determined, I'm going to win no matter what. Hallelujah. And if you don't know what to do, let's go to Matthew chapter 10. Let's read verses 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 10, 19 and 20. If you don't know what to do, here's some good advice for us. "But when they deliver you up, take no thought or what ye shall speak." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not always comfortable anyhow speaking. Okay? I'm a little bit more shy and withdrawn most of the time. But there are other times when that's not the case either. But he says, hey, don't worry about it. Well, for me not to worry about it would be awfully hard to do unless God, and or there's no choice. But he says here, don't take no thought for what you're going to speak, for it shall be given to you in that same hour what ye shall speak. Okay? Don't worry and fret about things that you can't control. And there's things that God wants you and I to know and to do that we may not have revealed to us until right before it happens. Another verse is 20, okay. For it is not ye that speak. Once again, we're walking in how? We're walking in the Spirit. He says, oh, for it is not you to speak, but what? The Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Because it's not supposed to be you at those times that's doing everything, but it's God doing things through you, impacting those that are out before you. That's what God wants you to do, and that will help you to overcome. Don't worry about all the direction. I got several others that tie into this. How much time do we have? I need to quit in 10 minutes or less. Okay, I'm going to skip that one. Let's jump to another one. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. What should be first and foremost then in our minds then, do you think? Well, we better be thinking about God and what the kingdom has in store for us and what we can add to the kingdom. The church. Who's all? Is the church this building? No, it's not. Is the church these pews? Is the church Robbie? Well, he's a part of it, isn't he? We're all a part of the church, or that's the God's desire for us all to be a part of his kingdom. And but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you want to be where you need to be in God, you know, seek God, seek after the righteous things or right things, and then he's going to see that all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. That's some of his promises. How many of you like guarantees? Anybody like guarantees? What if I guaranteed you could live successfully for God? And you know the Bible tells us how to do that. It tells us how. Let's go to 2 Peter, chapter 1. We're going to read verses 4 through 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, 4 through 11. Let's go to this for just a little bit here. Whereby are given unto us. Who's us? That's us. The church, okay? God's people, God's children. Not the children of the world, which he loves and cares about, but those who have said yes to him and are trying to live holy and righteously. They're given to us exceedingly. And you know, God doesn't mince words. If he says exceedingly, do you think it's about that much or maybe this much? Or no, exceedingly great and precious promises that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. These are to help us to be more like Jesus, to be more like him in our words, our actions, our deeds in this life so that we can glorify him. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5, and besides this, okay, now here are several things that you and I need to have and apply to our lives. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. And to, for these things, I thought we was going to continue on for a little bit there. Huh? Okay. There's a lot of things to try to get done in one day anyhow, isn't it? But for all these things be in you, okay, if they're there and a part of your life and part of who you are, if they be in you and abound, you know, you don't want just a little bit of patience. You don't want just a little bit of kindness. But if they abound in you, if they abound in you, that ye shall what? Neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's about knowledge. The next verse says, but he that lacketh these things, okay, if you don't have these things, you're blind. You don't see the importance of them. You don't understand how great these things and what they will add to your life, all the joy and the peace and the comfort and everything else that comes from God. You're blind to them. No wonder they don't understand us sometimes. And cannot see afar off. You're living short-sighted. You're living short-sighted. You're not seeing the big picture. We're not always going to be walking on this earth. There's come a day when every one of us is either going to be die and go to the ground, or we're going to be raptured. And if we are in the ground, we're going to be raptured too, okay? But we're not always going to be here. There's going to come a time whenever that's all going to be something of the past. And if you don't have God and these things in your life, you can't see all that is going to be coming down the pike. You're going to miss out on a lot. And have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You know, you need to be sure. You need to understand what God's word says and how you are fulfilling it the way God wants you to, not leaving things out because you don't like that particular part. All scripture is given what? By inspiration of God, and is profitable to you and I. Making your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, what does it say? Ye shall never fall. Verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God will always make a way if you try. God will always choose the right path for you and I. Whether it's the path you and I want at the time, I tell you, one of the good things about being older is you can look back and you can see how things really panned out. Some things you thought, wow, man, I missed out on that one. 5 years later, boy, I missed that one. Yeah, right. You know, I mean, that's the way life is. Sometimes you don't comprehend what's really going on. But Almighty God does, and He will always make a way. He will always provide for you and I. Hallelujah. And we can always make it all the way if we just trust in the Lord Jesus. I finally have four more things to share with you about daily living. And I don't know about you. There's an old song that says, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed upon Jesus. Nobody was impressed with that. I thought it felt better than it sounds, I guess. But, you know, it makes a big difference how you wake up in the morning and what you do. I hope that you will wake up in the mornings and think about God. It says, I just woke up this morning thinking about Jesus. Well, Jesus, oh boy, God, you're good. You really are. It's a great way to start your day. Now, praying, reading your Bible is good too, so don't leave that stuff out. But also, number two, thanking God for His goodness and to know that He has total control. I look around, I hear things, and I think, boy, this all is going crazy. There's no control anywhere. But yet, I know in my mind, in my heart, that really God has control of everything. It may look crazy to me, and it may be crazy. But in the midst of all of that, God has something that He's doing, something that He's bringing together, something that He is developing that is going to lead to the rapture of the church. And then it'll be left over to everybody else to do what they're going to do. All right, number three, the world is not always kind. The world is not always kind. But God is always with you, and He's always for you, and will take you through it. Hallelujah. Last but not least, with Jesus, you've got this. Whatever God brings in your path, whatever you face tonight, tomorrow, and all the tomorrows of your life, if you will let the Lord lead you and guide you, you will be successful. You will not fall because He will always make a way, even if there seemeth to be no way. Hallelujah. God bless you. Will you stand with me tonight? Thankful to God for His goodness and for His word and for the choices that He helps us make. and all the forgiveness that he shows us when we make the wrong choices. But if we allow him, he will always bring us together and bring us on the right path. No matter who we are, no matter what we face, God is still God, and he knows it all. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for this word tonight. Thank you for this opportunity that we've had to be together. Ask you, Lord, to touch this message tonight. God, help us to know that you are always there and you will encourage us and help us and strengthen us through every single thing. God, do be with us tonight and guide us and help us as we are dismissed from this service, but be with each and every one of us in a mighty way, I pray. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.